Morning, everybody. I'm super excited to welcome Kelly Sarabin. She's the Director of Technology Partner Programs and Strategy at HubSpot. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Super excited to be here.
Same here. You have an incredible role. You work for an amazing company. We are a customer of HubSpot. Our entire business is running on HubSpot. We've also recently become a partner of yours as an ISV partner. So I'm super excited, looking forward to have a great discussion about who you are, what you do, where the HubSpot ecosystem is going. But before I get started, I'd love to have you, take a minute and introduce yourself to our audience.
Sure. Happy to be here. As you mentioned, I run the technology partner programs at HubSpot. Prior to this, I was leading marketing at an early stage startup, which was an embedded iPaaS. So we kind of sold into the partnership space. But at HubSpot, I oversee, we have 1,500 partners, which also known as ISVs or tech partners. And so really thinking about how we can build out the program itself and then building out different go-to-market programs for our partners to take advantage of and kind of help to power that platform flywheel where we're working together as a platform and with our partners to better serve our customers. And that's on the go-to-market side, but then also thinking about different ways that we can connect more closely with all of our product teams and our developer relations team, just to make sure that we're providing, the best experience for our partners and helping our businesses to grow together.
Terrific. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what is the HubSpot ecosystem, because we know you have had an amazing journey as a company over the last decade and grown exponentially. But also your ecosystem has grown and also powers quite a bit of HubSpot revenue. So anything that you can publicly share, we'd love to know. What does the HubSpot ecosystem look like? Who is in it? What roles they play? And also maybe a little bit about your organization, how you work with them.
Yeah, HubSpot has, been a very much a partner-led company. It has a lot of different partner types, often partner types who are working together to help serve our customers and just kind of grow our market size. So we have our software companies that are building, integrations to our platform like yourselves, and other companies like Sixth Sense, Aircall, Gong, G2. And then we have developers who also build on top of HubSpot. So they might not be a separate software company, but they're really just looking to build specifically for our customers. And as we've grown to be more of a platform, we're seeing more and more of those type of partners. We also have what we call our solutions partners, and that includes, regional system integrators, RevOps, digital marketing agencies, people who are selling strategy, consulting, services, just a wide swath of partners who source deals for HubSpot, help to influence those deals, and then manage our customers as well. And our teams work closely with our partners. And as we've gone into larger companies, you often see you'll have app partners on deals, you'll have solutions partners on deals, and we're just kind of all working together to make sure that prospect or that customer is having kind of like a seamless buying journey. We also have HubSpot for Startups, which is partnerships with a lot of different VC firms who, partner to support all their portfolio companies. And it's been, a great way for HubSpot to really support the software ecosystem. And it's grown a lot over time. And I'll say at my last company, like you as an earlier stage software company, we also were using HubSpot for everything. And we were part of that program through Techstars. So we were able to get like 90% discount, and then just continue to use it as we grew, which was great. So that, I would say that's kind of the landscape of our partners, and they're, very much embedded in the company DNA and really just helping us to both grow and to service our customers.
So going back to, sort of the heart of HubSpot, the SMB and mid-market customer base, and we're one of them, your founders have talked relentlessly about how they stayed focused into that market instead of trying to just move up to enterprise. Even though we know HubSpot is edging up into enterprise and you have a lot of large accounts, but talk to us a little bit about, how do you segment the end user base and then go to market perspective? How does the ecosystem line up? Like, sub 50 employee segment, 50 to 50, or however your segmentation is on the end user level.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how much detail or share out publicly in terms of all the ins and outs, but we definitely do look in buckets of like those smaller companies. And then kind of like what we do call internally mid-market, but I would say a lot of different in-market might still be considered small. And then we have like a corporate sales team that is focused on what a lot of people in the industry might call mid-market, but really that 200 to 2,000 employee range.
Okay. And then how does the partner ecosystem align up behind that? Do you see agencies sort of selling across, or do you see a cluster of sort of certain competencies across, or a group of companies that are supporting those different segments?
Yeah, I think you see both, but there's definitely, you know, as we've continued to go up on the right, like from where we started, which is in that smaller bucket, and now we've continued to go up as it's become more of a platform and more extensible. So it's been able to meet more of those custom use cases. We've of course attracted partners who specialize more in what is the larger range of that. And then we still have some, you know, smaller, might be a digital marketing agency or just a much smaller agency that likes to focus on those smaller business sizes. So you definitely have some people that have a range, but I think we do have more and more partners who are focused on like the upper size coming into the ecosystem today.
And from a partner competency wise, so when you think about, you know, an agency supporting like a 50-person company or even a 100-person company, they're possibly, you know, starting with marketing suites, sort of that's where, you know, HubSpot started from. But as they move into more, you know, CRM and customer success applications that you have introduced, you have Operations Hub, which we're using extensively on our side also. What is the competency requirement for a partner agency to sort of serve those different segments as the needs of the end customer businesses change, from content to workflow and integration, et cetera?
Yeah, I think, you know, HubSpot has an academy and it has accreditations for partners where they can demonstrate different areas of expertise and kind of get HubSpot sign off on those different areas of accreditation. So I do think it's something where you see people who are very knowledgeable across the hubs, right? And then you'll see other businesses that prefer just to focus on, say, Marketing Hub and all of those use cases. And that's where you can also see opportunities for partners to partner. So you might have someone who is very specialized in Marketing Hub, and then they might partner up with if someone who's doing Service Hub, if the customer indeed wants to go across the entire platform, which, you know, we definitely have a fairly large percentage of our customer base is multi-hub.
Yeah, I mean, looking at your, you know, annual reports, it looks like there's a lot of account-based growth that has come over the years, and that also kind of fueled your growth. But I want to kind of go back to regarding your journey at HubSpot. If you look at the last 5 years, where was the ecosystem at 5 years ago, and where is it today? How has it changed? How is it similar? Of course, it's grown substantially larger in size, but how was it then and how is it now?
Yeah, I think speaking from technology partner side, it's definitely grown a lot in terms of number, multifold over how many apps were listed 5 years ago. For the same reason, the types of solutions partners have changed over those 5 years as well, because 5 years ago, HubSpot just didn't have as many ways that you could build extensibility to it. So it was just more limited. But now, you know, like last year, we released UIE, which means now that app partners can really have much more wide swath where they can change the interface of HubSpot that the user would be looking at. While previously it was more limited to like the side of, say, a deal record or a company record, now they have much more freedom to build within the UI of HubSpot. And so as HubSpot's released more APIs, more SDKs, more features like UIE, it's obviously increased the number of app partners that have reason and, you know, demand to build to the platform. And it's also created more space for solutions partners to build custom integrations and also just to offer more system integration. So like solution architecture and helping to like put that whole stack together, because as you can imagine, you know, our larger customers will have more and more integrations in their tech stack. It's just, you know, we know market wide that that's what you see is like the bigger that companies are, they get a more mature RevOps, you know, of course, some industries aside where things might be more stagnant, but within one industry, the larger you get, you're going to have more and more apps. And that kind of creates a need for the architecture of the tech stack. And then also just for these tools to be better integrated. So I think the biggest change over the last 5 years has really just been HubSpot has started to like come into its own as a platform. offering the like product and technical landscape to enable more and more partners to build, and that's really opened up a lot of space for partners.
So you said a lot of great things. So I'm going to start unpacking them in multiple tracks. So first, let's talk about, you know, if I'm an agency partner, like a marketing agency partner, you know, if I want to join HubSpot and I want to, you know, sort of start offering HubSpot to my customer base or even build a business, where do I start? What's that pathway? And then I have successive questions tied to that.
Yeah, I think, you know, our partner program is very open. There's tons of information that's publicly available. You do have to get a HubSpot license in order to join. But, you know, we have a provider, which is like the lightweight, not the official solutions partner program, where that you can start to get some of the benefits back, start to get commissions, and then you can move up to the formal program itself. But either way, the upfront cost is very low. We have tons of resources available. So I think it is, in terms of when you look at different large ecosystems, it's pretty accessible. It's pretty open. It's a very, I think, friendly ecosystem where you can get that information. You can usually, you know, you can connect. And so I think the first step is really just to formally join the program. Obviously, you want to join when you have, to your point, knowledge of HubSpot, you're interested in, you know, either selling, managing, or helping to influence deals. And once you join, you know, it's really just trying to work with your partner manager to figure out your goals and your expectations and like how they align with our formal program to kind of see where you want to go. Because I think, you know, we do, like a lot of companies have tiers. So you can, you know, you can have a goal to get higher in the tiers, get more benefits as you go, but you can also, you know, get support at all levels of tiers. So it really would just depend on like what your goal is as a business and like what you're looking to accomplish and how much you want to invest in the HubSpot ecosystem.
So can you tell us a little bit about the tiers and what are the classic tiers you have on the partner program?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all this. I don't want to speak too deeply about the solutions partner program just because it's not my team. It's like I'm not the one running that team. But I think it is just, I mean, at core, it's a structure where it's built where you can get points to go up on tiers. And the points are kind of based on the concept of the classifications that I was saying, which is, are you sourcing deals? Are you influencing deals? Are you driving customer value? Like, are the customers that you're managing for HubSpot being retained?
Got it. And then let's switch to the other side, which is sort of your core technology partner programs, ISVs. What is their pathway? How can they grow in the HubSpot ecosystem? What are the benefits available to those group of people, like someone like us?
Yeah, I think our partner program today is on the technology partner side is still very nascent, and it's something that looking to 2025 and 2026, I'm hoping to build out a more robust system so that we can have more clearly defined kind of incentives and rewards, so to speak, for partners, so that this kind of is a more clear path to like how you would gain certain benefits. But we've certainly invested in a lot of resources for our partners on the technology partner side. So, you know, we have like an ecosystem quality team that helps partners on the side of building their apps and building better apps. We have a developer relations team that also creates a lot of scaled content around how to do that. And then we're making a lot of investments in the app marketplace so that becomes more, you know, it gets over 1 million visits a month already, but like we want it to become more easy for users to discover the right apps and build in a lot more functionality on that front. And then I think we do have certainly co-marketing programs. We have a co-sell, co-service program. We've started something called the Partner Growth Accelerator, which is connecting app partners with solutions partners to go through a live cohort together and then build a MDF campaign. And so, you know, some of these are open to anyone to apply, like the Partner Growth Accelerator, any app partner can apply for it. But we do whatever the initiative is, of course, we're just going to, at this point, evaluate it in terms of like, who's going to drive the most value, where's the mutual wins. And so I think at this stage, a lot of the benefits out of the program are initiative based versus having those formal tiers across the whole ecosystem where it's like, if you reach gold tier, you get this. Or if you reach this status, it's more about kind of engaging, looking for those opportunities, seeing where it's a good fit, and it's going to drive like mutual wins.
Okay. So there are three very important words you said. One is co-market, co-sell, and then so co-growth or co-keep. So if you think about a successful co-marketing campaign between a solution partner and a ISV partner, what would that look like based on your experience? And the same thing on a co-sell and same thing or kind of co-keep.
Yeah, I think on the co-marketing side, it can be a number of things. One thing that we are is seeing being very successful, especially with the larger companies, is like field events. So, you know, that could be anything from executive dinner experience to a slightly larger event around a topic that relates to both the solutions partner and the ISV partner. And just picking a location where they both have a lot of target accounts, and then kind of bringing everybody together around that topic, forming those relationships. Also seen, you know, a lot of successful digital, more digital-based campaigns where I think the key there is just having a really strong joint value prop, key who you're targeting, and then, you know, having a landing page, webinars, ebooks, kind of end-to-end where you have a really smart journey that you're nurturing the prospect on. So I think that's what we're seeing be successful. I mean, I honestly think a lot of the tactics that work in these markets for direct marketing work really well when you have two partners involved. It's just the key is that you want to make sure you're dialing in that joint value prop and you're not just trying to have like two separate ideas next to each other, but instead you're telling like one strong narrative. And then I think the other component, of course, is that the teams like work effectively together. So they're actually getting efficiencies and like tapping into each other's resources instead of being disorganized. So I think kind of on that side is what we've seen being successful.
Awesome. So if an ISV partner, you know, working with a solution partner, let's say in a specific market, and they're running campaigns together for HubSpot customer base, or even alternative, you know, CRM customer base that they're trying to move them over to the HubSpot ecosystem, do they have to go through any sort of branding or campaign approval process, or they can just kind of go run as long as they comply with what's listed in your partner portal?
So we see both. Like, we started this partner growth accelerator campaign where people were going through this live cohort together, and then they could apply for MDF, and then HubSpot's approving the campaigns, and then they're going out and they're still partner led. We also saw even out of this very program, people would go do, you know, organic campaigns on their own. And, you know, obviously they have to still abide by like HubSpot brand guidelines. And anytime you're going to use the HubSpot logo, things like that might need approval. But other than that, it can be very, very partner led. And we've seen, you know, cases where one solutions partner might be teaming up with four app partners and they're doing, you know, an event on. And so I think, which makes sense because you can have a story across, you know, multiple ISVs. So yeah, it's definitely seeing a lot of just partner-led activity in the ecosystem, which I think is great.
Awesome. And then what happens, so beyond co-market, let's say at a deal level, if both of these partners, you know, work together and bring a new opportunity to HubSpot, how do they get compensated? Like, is it, you know, how is the reward structure? How is it mapped? How does it work through your portal?
Yeah, solutions partners have a way to register deals where they would be logged in. And then the app partners doesn't have that. We do have a small, relatively new co-sell, co-service program with a limited number of partners. And they have a way to do that to register it with us. So in those cases, we would have visibility into it. That program is not monetized, though. So it's about mutual wins, right? So it's about HubSpot and the partner helping each other on deals, and also in our customer base, it's co-sell and co-service. But I think, you know, same thing, these campaigns that came out of the partner growth accelerator, like when we put them into our system, they are being tagged to the app partner that was involved. It's just not monetized today.
No, on the app side, it makes sense because the app partner would get revenue by selling subscription to the app.
Exactly. So and that's the idea is that for them, it's a mutual win, right? We're trying to win business together. We're trying to make our mutual customers do better together. And right. Then, yeah, the solutions partners just has a different business model.
So going back to this multi-app, you know, kind of solution bundle that a solution partner is providing, this is kind of getting into, you know, some of the things Scott Brinkler writes about and you also promote, which is sort of this evolution of the MarTech and the sales tech. sort of the stack, right? And Jay McBain talks about all day long, seven layers. So if you have to think about on the marketing side in mid-market, right? Or even sales, include those two functions. The top of your head, like what are the seven applications that you think are running on HubSpot today that are most common?
Oh, which ISV partners are most common?
Yeah, or type, even if not brands, like what type of applications are running on HubSpot?
That's a good question. I think obviously, you know, the big ad players like Google Ads, LinkedIn Ads, you know,
ad roles and those set of tools.
Yeah, the social media or the ads, both, right? Like being able to post social and then being able to run those ads at a HubSpot is huge. Obviously, your email providers, so like Gmail, Outlook, people want to have that integrated with their marketing automation software and their CRM. I think another one that we see is really big is proposals. So like PandaDoc is one of our most installed apps. And I think, you know, in their case, it's very design-based, very branded. HubSpot does have its own native functionality to create quotes. But, you know, PandaDoc definitely has like a whole design component to it.
What about conversational intelligence tools?
That's definitely something that is popular with customers, especially upmarket customers. HubSpot does have its own conversational intelligence, but I think definitely with the upmarket, you see Gong has a lot of traction. I think there's different types of sales intelligence that we don't have. You know, we've invested in that. We're going to continue to invest in that. It'll continue to grow. But like, there's definitely things like G2, right, that has unique data source that is useful for targeting your customers if you're marketing or selling. So I'd say that's another category where, to your point, that particular vendors might be spread out. But like, we can all, people love to have more data when they're targeting people. And then I think, you know, video and events. Eventbrite is a very popular integration with customers. Just can really Zoom webinar, like these things that can enable a marketer to bring that all in.
Any CPQ tools, and do you see integration of quotes?
Yes, definitely. So I think that, you know, DealHub CPQ is one that is a kind of more enterprise CPQ. Because again, HubSpot does have some CPQ functionality, but if that's a tool that's very much built for large sales teams and enterprise, so it works, and they've built a very strong integration. It works really well with HubSpot. So that's definitely an area you see. Another one that I think fills really great white space for us is field service. So there's a company called Zooper, and they've built a really strong integration to us. And that's something, you know, when you have any company that has field technicians, so it could be people installing solar panels, really anything where they're out in the field, it works really well with the HubSpot CRM to like complement that. I would say calling and SMS, another area where HubSpot does have functionality, but like for certain businesses, they're going to go with something like AirCall, where it's just that's their whole area, right? And so they've built out some of the functionality that HubSpot doesn't have, and definitely another category that's popular with our customers.
So speaking of calling, this is maybe, you know, looking into the future a little bit. You know, in Silicon Valley, and I'm sure in Boston area, you know, there's a whole buzz about AI SDR, mm-hmm. right? So let's kind of fast forward into 2025. Where do you see the ecosystem is going? What role AI plays, and what are the top two or three tool or tool stack wise that you're seeing motion that would become a real value add to the HubSpot ecosystem?
Yeah, I think, you know, HubSpot is definitely heavily investing AI, both in its own product and in the ways that we can have partners be able to tap into that and potentially build on top of that AI for our customers. So I think that's definitely going to be something that's going to come out in 2025 in a lot of different ways. And I do think there's also a lot of new AI tools that are coming up in a wide variety of spaces. AI video, for example, creation, right? And I think AI BDRs, like there's lots of these new tools coming up. I wouldn't call anyone out in particular, because I don't want to take a stance on one being more important than the other. And I think it's a rapidly evolving space, but I think it's very clear that, you know, business of all sizes are interested in AI, and they're trying to figure out like which of these tools is going to help for my business. And it's very clear, you know, in 2025, they're going to be tapping into those tools. And I think it's going to be through HubSpot's own AI, but then also through our partners' AI. And then it's going to be through partners being able to build on our AI. So it's a rapidly moving space. And I think I'm excited to kind of see how 2025 goes for us and for our customers.
So if you have to pick one or two sort of application category without mentioning any specific brands, what do you think the momentum is in sort of marketing and sales stack when it comes to AI?
I mean, I think that leaving aside like partners versus HubSpot, you know, obviously the biggest thing that's gone forward the farthest so fast is in content generation, right? So for people being able, and this is, a lot of this is built into HubSpot, the product, but I think there's also other companies doing it. It's just not only video, but writing blog posts, writing emails, writing messages, right? And then I think there is a huge opportunity, in my opinion, around what BDRs do. And those could be partner BDRs as well, but regular BDRs, like the kind of cold calling, cold emailing, that type of motion seems like either already can be or very quickly could be, a lot of that be replaced with AI. And so for me, in terms of like marketers and sellers, I think those are the two areas that seem in the short term would have the biggest impact. But what do you think? I'd be curious. Do you see another like space where you feel like in 2025, just another product area, it might move faster?
Yeah. So mid-market, you know, we're actively exploring for two reasons. One, for our own use, right? So our sales team and marketing team are more productive. And second is also bring in some of these functionality to our PRM side, right? Because partners don't have the level of budget that brands have. So we want to introduce, you know, certain AI capabilities and integrate seamlessly with HubSpot. So let me start with the first category. We're heavy users of Gong, and, you know, without getting into all the brands, we have like 9 different stacks integrated into HubSpot, and we're looking at a couple of tools, but they're primarily focused on better identification of suspects, you know, better journey tracking for prospects, and then really provide conversational intelligence into the funnel when sales is involved. So they can better serve the prospect in the funnel with more accurate information, understand their buying needs, and not trying to take notes and, you know, follow up and miss a few things. So we have seen 30-40% productivity increase just in 24 by deploying HubSpot and integrating these stacks in marketing and sales. So our revenues have grown, but sales headcount or marketing headcount hasn't grown, right? So that's number one. On the partner side, you know, partner workflows are very different because an average partner needs to log in anywhere between 8 to 40 different partner portals. So therefore, you know, it is very difficult to train them on a continuous set of activities in one tools. So on the partner side, we're looking at more transactional tools when they log in, whether it's a bot or doing a query. So at the point of touch into the portal, how they interact, make that efficient versus coming back to the direct side, it's more about thinking about the entire journey, right? So we see there are two ways it's evolving is on the direct side where a salesperson or a market person living in HubSpot all day long, there we have the ability to think about the entire life cycle of an ICP all the way from, you know, from problem not aware, problem aware, solution not aware, solution aware, you know, that entire journey, becoming a customer, providing them. We have heavily integrated Gong in our customer success hub in HubSpot. So today, when a CSM gets an account, they have complete marketing history, account history across the entire account. And we're building these 360-degree persona now in HubSpot that showcases, because what happens is, because our platform is so big, when a typical customer starts, very similar to your journey, we'll make them start in an application area, right? Like the way they may start with an HubSpot CRM, then grow into marketing and grow into customer success, et cetera. So we also get them started. But at the point of engagement with sales, prospects talk about their whole pain point. Customer success in deployment didn't have access to that knowledge, right? So today, know that when a PRM customer is coming in, they may be very, very focused on partner onboarding and deal reg, but they know they want to need to move into enablement. They need to move into co-marketing. They need to move into co-sell. So that history, that intelligence today in HubSpot, and with your Copilot introduction and our integration between Gong and HubSpot, CSM team has an incredible level of information. We didn't have it even a year ago, right? So we see, I think, on the direct side, maturing way well ahead on the partner side. On the partner side, I think we have to provide very pointed tactical AI tools that makes a transaction efficient. But on the direct side, it's on the, about the entire journey and getting ROI of the entire lifecycle engagement with the customer.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I think you're right. The 360 view of the customer is so important. Do you guys also use product analytics at all?
On two parts, yeah. So we have in HubSpot, you know, we're using that as our single source of truth. And we build a lot of custom objects in HubSpot to get additional data from other sources. So when it comes to a direct side of business there, but we also, we're built on Microsoft Azure stack. We use a product management software called AHA. So we pull HubSpot data, the customer engagement data, both pre-sales to post-sales, and the roadmap data, and project management, and as well as the ADO, Azure DevOps, into Power BI. So when it goes to deep into product management and engineering, they are essentially looking through Power BI that is pulling data from HubSpot. But when we're looking into from a customer perspective, that all is happening in HubSpot. So I would say there are basically two dashboards I look at, you know, my management team looks at in those. If it's marketing and sales, they're predominantly in HubSpot. If it's products and engineering, they're predominantly in Power BI.
Okay, yeah, that's super interesting because I know we've, you know, have a partnership with Amplitude, for example, right, where you can pull in that product analytics data, which for certain companies, you know, especially if you're, say, PLG company, being able to see, have someone say, like, the person's using the product this way is like a trigger to outreach for marketing or sales.
Yeah, we have built, you know, our journey analyzer within our product. So when our users are within our PRM platform, We map utilization by module, activity, abandonment rate on features. So we have built similar to capabilities that Pendo's and WalkMe's have, but we have built those into ours for product management as preview. But that's our own, you know, stack that we built on Microsoft, leveraging most of the Power BI and Azure directory capabilities.
And do you have that set up to trigger a sales or a marketing outreach, depending on what it's telling you?
We're not there yet.
Oh, so okay.
I think that's next year. Yeah. This year we really wanted to institutionalize HubSpot across the entire business, right? So today, every morning I wake up, I get 9 automated reports from HubSpot that I can scroll through on my email, right? So, I mean, our meetings have... Review meetings have cut down by 40% because, you know, people have these reports that know where they are. Sales, you know, notes taking, sort of this drudgery of work has gone away substantially. CS side, I think we'll have a lot of opportunity to really substantially improve in 2025, provide that utilization data because they now know what the customer needs are based on pre-sales conversation. And we need to map that into the utilization and provide better service, better roadmap, you know, integrating those two intelligence.
And did you set that all up internally or did you use a HubSpot solutions partner to help set it all up?
No, we're an app partner for you, right? So we have deep HubSpot
so competency. Yeah, it's good that you do. I mean, I think when you go to build the integration, right, having that internal expertise is so helpful.
Yeah, we have 9 CSMs fully sort of, you know, trained and certified on HubSpot because they provide consultation to HubSpot customers that are trying to integrate to our partner relationship management platform.
That's super helpful. I mean, yeah, we see that ourselves if we're, you know, from like our sales and CS side, if we're using a tool internally and they're an app partner, it helps because they're already familiar with it and they can speak to it. And as you can imagine, you know, with 1700 plus apps, our sellers and CSMs aren't going to be familiar with all of them. So it definitely can be a value add to the partnership.
Yeah. And then one of the area, Kelly, you know, we want to kind of work with you also is really bring in that direct stack, because when you look at mid-market customers, they don't have our level of engineering capability within the organization. So naturally, a HubSpot customer comes to us and says, hey, how are you using HubSpot? You know, what else can we do on the direct side? Because on the partner side, we're driving it. That's why there's an opportunity to understand. That's why I was asking you, what are the more common apps? Because I can't train my CS on 1,700 apps that you have in your portal, but maybe I can train them on 7 or 8 or 10 so that they can put together a bundle. Because in the end, whether the revenue is coming to the partner side or revenue coming to the direct, and in many cases, even if it's coming from the partner side, you have to have a deep understanding of the customer base. And you provide so many capabilities that none of the PRM providers have, including us. So I think leveraging best of both where we provide the intelligence when it comes to customers and prospects on a platform like HubSpot, but then provide the partner intelligence, you know, in our platform and marry those two over. I think that's the opportunity in 25 and 26.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, Kelly, with that, I know we have a busy schedule. Thank you for being here. We'd love to have you back. I'm going to do another one of these with Scott Brinkler end of Q1 as we roll out our roadshows with HubSpot partners, as I mentioned to you. So we're super excited. We'll keep you posted. But thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.